Waka Zingrani 2, not quite as good as Waka Zingrani 1. Welcome to the show, Fantasy Baseball Today, here on Tuesday morning. I almost said Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday morning, April 8th. Adam Azer and Al Melchior are here. Scott White will be in shortly. Hey, Al.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, good.
All right. Like I do every year on the second Tuesday of the season. Well, I think it was the first Tuesday last year. I'm going to predict, probably correctly, that you watched none of the college basketball game last night, and Scott watched very little. So we'll find out if Scott is walking in right now. Am I right about you, at least?
Yeah, you are right about me.
Zero of the basketball game.
Unlike last year, I had no stake in this. I had UConn out in the first round. Kentucky. I think I had them in the Sweet 16, but...
Oh, that's right. Last year you watched.
So, yeah.
Right, you're a Michigan fan.
Right.
All right, Scott, I'm going to guess you watched 5 minutes of the game.
You guess incorrectly.
Zero?
Adam Azer, zero. My wife asked me, hey, do you want to watch this game? And I said, I haven't watched any of the tournament so far.
It was a pretty good game.
So, oh, for the tournament.
I had it streaming online for the first half because I am into a new show here.
Oh?
True Detective is awesome. Do you guys watch it?
I've heard good things.
You'd like it, Scott.
You know me.
You wouldn't.
Movies
you
and might series. Like it. Forget it.
All right, let's talk sports here. Fantasy Baseball Today. Watch our video show live noon Eastern. Call us. Call our show. We're getting some good calls. They're a lot of fun. Bring some personality. Bring some podcast jokes. The number is 877-627-9777. So call the show or watch it on demand if you can't watch it live. Email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put podcast or baseball podcast or grade the trade in the subject line. We're talking about hot hitters today. We're breaking out the worryometer. David Robertson's on the DL, so who do you pick up? Matt Moore might go on the DL. Omar Infante is probably going on the DL. And there wasn't a ton from yesterday's game, so let's have some fun. Let's go to the worryometer, unless you had something that I interrupted.
Would this be a good time to talk about position eligibility?
Worryometer first, and then let's do position eligibility. I'll put it here in my little notes.
Not so little.
Worryometer on. Ubaldo Jimenez, 4 2/3, 8 hits, 4 runs, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts at the Yankees. He walked 3 in allowing 4 runs against the Red Sox in his first start. Worryometer, 0 to 10, 10's a drop.
Okay. Worryometer on Jimenez is a 3 for me. I'm going to break out a new device here.
Oh, boy.
here it is, the anoyometer.
Anoyometer is like
how annoyed I am.
Anoyometer.
Yeah, you can put like the Y in there. Stress the y.
Yeah, I think it's got to be like anoyometer.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It's a 9. I'm really annoyed.
I could see that.
But you know, in the leagues where I drafted Jimenez, I didn't draft him for the consistency, so I can't be too worried. Just annoyed.
All right, a 3 for you, Scott.
I'm gonna go 6. Because control has been such a big issue for him in these two starts, and when he's not right, that's his biggest problem. So it's I don't know if the Orioles have the right coaches in place to get him set straight like the Indian staff did.
All right. Well, the weather was pretty bad yesterday. If you want to give him a pass, yeah, and I could see it. It was an ugly, gross day. The only thing is, it probably helped him out because the wind was so bad. It kept a lot of balls in the park. But you could see it affecting a pitcher for sure. In fact, Tony Cingrani said the wetness on the ball affected him last night. Oh, I think his pitching coach actually said that, or his manager. He didn't make that excuse. All right, Tanner Shepherd's 52% owned. Only 2 runs, but 9 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts in 5 innings at Boston. Worked out of trouble a lot in this game. Worryometer of 10's a drop on Tanner Shepherd's.
I'm going to go 5 here. And that's and it's only just because I feel like Shepherd's is close to droppable anyway in a lot of formats.
You're making all of these little
No. Adam's not me. Adam's the one who said 10's a drop.
Yeah, but you're saying he's close to droppable anyway. So like shouldn't his
relative to a Jimenez, sure.
Permanent spot on the worryometer be above 7 then?
I think it's kind of relative.
Closer than somebody like Jimenez. I'm not saying I'm on the verge of dropping Shepherd's, but he's closer. He's fringier than somebody like Jimenez. So I'm giving him a 5. But in both cases with Jimenez, I expected some inconsistency. With Shepherd's, this is closer to a Sheppers type start that I would have expected than his first one. Because in this one, he threw a lot more strikes, got ground balls. That's the way I expect him to succeed. I'm not necessarily expecting him to avoid a lot of contact. And that's going to hurt him sometimes.
Well, yeah, and they did single him to death. I think there was only one extra base hit in that whole game. Not sure if it came off of him, but still, I mean, you're talking 17 hits in two starts from a guy who we didn't even know would hold up in the starting role. His velocity, I mean, as you'd expect, it's 3 miles per hour lower on average, his average fastball velocity, than it was in relief. And some pitchers can't handle that. I mean, it just looks like he's too hittable in this role. And frankly, they have enough guys who are at least usable in the rotation that they don't necessarily have to keep him here long term.
Do they?
Yeah. They got Nick Martinez. They got...
Well, Saunders is now going on the DL.
Tepish.
Colby Lewis could come back soon.
Matt Harrison could be back before the end of April.
All right. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I don't know what you expected at Boston. I didn't expect a good start. So if I had faith in Sheppers, I'm not losing it after this start in particular.
But how could you have faith in Sheppers if you've never seen him start a major league game before?
Not faith that he's definitely going to deliver or anything, but more, let's say, intrigue.
Okay.
Got a roster spot, still intrigued by him, you know, whatever.
Would you drop him for Tyler Skaggs, who last I looked was still owned in less than 70% of leagues?
Yeah, of course. I'm sure you guys would too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even in head-to-head points where the SPARP appeal.
Yeah. SPARP appeal can get overrated at some point. I mean, you gave it a shot, but I don't know. I mean, I still think there's a case to be made for hanging on to Sheppers in those leagues where you can use him as a relief pitcher because he's, you know, maybe got better from one start to the next, and at Boston's tough, and he held
There's a case.
He held him 2 runs.
I didn't give my exact spot. It's 9.
On the variometer?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an automatic drop, but I wouldn't shy away from it.
Okay, position eligibility, Al. Give us an update.
All right, and Scott, let me know if I missed anything here. I've got four players that in week one, or actually up till now, have gained a new position. Casey McGee, now usable third. Xander Bogaerts, he's a shortstop now in fantasy. Yanhervis Solarte, you can now use him at third, as well as outfield. And Marcus Semien, I think just yesterday, got his second base eligibility.
All right.
Mike Olt, Miguel Cabrera, Nick Castellanos still on the bubble.
Cabrera, first base?
Yeah. Mike Olt, third base. Castellanos, third base.
I think they're all at four, too.
All right.
Olt's at three.
I think you're right. Yeah. He pinch hit twice.
So Jonathan Scope played third yesterday, I believe, with
and that wasn't the first time.
Lombardozzi at second.
That might be
that could be
something that happens, too.
Gonna have to hurry up and do that. Do we have a timetable on Machado, by the way?
I haven't read anything recently, so let's see.
All right, you look that up. Here's some news and notes. All right, David Robertson, groin strain. He thinks he'll be ready in 15 days, but he's on the DL. The Yankees, Joe Girardi said they're going to use a closer by committee. I don't really buy that.
I think they don't have much in that bullpen.
I think the only two guys that I could see getting saves somewhat regularly are Kelly for sure, and Adam Warren has looked really good, but I mean, I think it's going to be Kelly. He got the save yesterday. He's been their eighth inning guy. Maybe they go Thornton, Lindstrom. No, wait, which one do they have?
They've got Thornton.
Thornton against the lefties.
Which are the Mets. Yeah.
Kelly's the
left-handed
guy.
One.
Kelly's the guy to get, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I saw people investing pretty heavily in my Fab leagues in him yesterday, and I don't think that's wise. David Robertson, you know, it's not an arm injury. He says he expects to be back in the minimum of 15 days. Granted, that's not guaranteed, but it's not going to be a long-term thing. It doesn't really have a chance of being a long-term thing. And unless I was a David Robertson owner just looking to replace him directly, yes, I probably wouldn't even bother with Kelly.
Exactly. I mean, I bid $4 on Kelly in our Roto League because I own Robertson, and someone else bid $5. And I wouldn't have done that if I didn't own Robertson. So I'm glad you said that. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, no, and I am too, because that's exactly how I feel about it. And if this were a situation where it looked like Robertson was going to be out for a long time, I would have been all over Sean Kelly yesterday. But yeah, for maybe 2 weeks. And again, he's not necessarily the guy either. They could go committee. There's a report that the Yankees were scouting Joel Hanrahan. So
Mets, too. Anybody, should we pick up Hanrahan?
Yeah, in a league where, you know, every closer is owned, which is, you know, you got to get to a certain depth for that to happen. I could see him being worth a flyer, but it would be a case where I just have this extra guy on my bench and I don't really care about him and I don't like what else is on waivers. Like, he's not a high priority for me.
Matt Moore left with an elbow injury. He missed a month last season with an elbow injury. When he came back, Moore went 3-2 with a 2.79 ERA. He walked everyone, but he was Matt Moore. But let's assume he goes on the just, you know, hypothetically, say he goes on the DL. Any interesting replacements there for Tampa Bay?
I meant to check in and see if Eric Bedard was still in the organization. I think he is. And given that he was, I think, the last cut amongst the pitchers, that would be, and I don't find it particularly interesting for fantasy, but.
Do they still have Colome?
Yes.
Could he get called up? Anyone? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Am I reaching here?
No, I'm. probably for most owners, yeah. I mean, even AL only, I wouldn't bother with Bedard if that's the case. Colome, maybe. But I think I'm just kind of waiting to see the severity on this. If it's a serious injury, which is obviously not what we want to hear, would be good news for Jake Odorizzi, whose spot is less than assured with Jeremy Hellickson coming back eventually.
There is no chance Colome is getting called up, serving a 50-game drug suspension.
Oh.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, I sure did.
But Bedard is in the Rays organization, so that would be my guess, and I have zero interest.
Okay, Kansas City second baseman Omar Infante was hit in the face by a pitch from Heath Bell. Didn't look good there, so let's do some replacements for him, and let's hope he gets better. Not to sound insensitive, but if you lost him, here are some players owned in 65% of leagues or less. Howie Kendrick, Neil Walker, D. Gordon, Kelly Johnson, Dan Uggla. Who do you want?
I have Kendrick and Walker ranked ahead of Infante, or I did, before this even happened, so I guess my first choice would be Kendrick. If you have to go deeper than that, in Roto, probably Gordon, but in head-to-head, I might go Uggla.
And Al, I'll give you the guys owned in less than 40% of leagues if you need a middle infielder. All Brian right. Roberts, DJ LeMahieu, Marcus Semien, Jonathan Scope, Scooter Gennett, Ricky Weeks, Gordon Beckham.
I'd go Semien there.
And I'd probably go Semien ahead of Gordon and Uggla, actually.
Really?
So.
Yeah, I would too.
But what if he loses his job?
Well, then you go and you get then you get Scope or LeMahieu or, you know, whoever.
Yeah. Okay, Joe Saunders on the DL for Texas. Colby Lewis could be coming back. Are we interested in Colby Lewis?
I am interested in Colby Lewis, and I have no idea what we're going to get because he hasn't pitched much in a couple years. But last time we saw Colby Lewis and he was healthy, he was pretty good. So I think that potential is there.
Moving on, Devin Mesoraco activated from the DL. He's going to get the bulk of the playing time. We saw Brian Peña catch yesterday. He might be Cingrani's regular catcher, but Mesoraco will be the guy. Jonathan Broxton should be activated today, and I was just wondering, do you guys think David Lowe has AL-only value? He's 2% owned. It's kind of random, but he's leading off for the Orioles, and sometimes an everyday outfielder is hard to find.
Yeah, I do think he has AL-only value. I'm really not going to go any further than that with it, but he does lead off. He has potential for a high batting average and very little else.
Does he play against lefties?
And he is a platoon guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
All right. Well, there you go. I guess I shouldn't have called him every day. My bad. I was wondering if you saw the blog post we had last week about, I think it was like on Saturday, about Tanner Roark.
I did see it, yes.
Do you recall what it said? I'm a little hazy on it, but it was interesting. I think it was basically that he's not getting swings and misses, and he might not be that good. And I didn't know what you thought about that.
I don't really expect him to be a swing and miss guy. So,
okay. Yeah.
You know, again, sort of in the Shepherds mold of what I expect from Shepherds with good control and not a lot of extra base hits.
Loshian. Isn't that the word we usually use?
I got to blog more. I never blog anymore. It's so sad.
You're kind of on set all day, Adam.
Yeah, I know, but I should blog from home.
Master stuff going on. Just you're all over the place. You're a versatile host.
What have you guys been blogging about lately?
I blogged yesterday about how if we're going to get excited about Brandon Belt's 4 home runs, we should also get worried about his swinging strike rate, which I'm not really worried about, just kind of making the point that if we're going to take an extreme statistic from a week's worth of games seriously, then look at all the stats, because it's really a mixed bag with Brandon Belt so far.
Interesting. How about you?
I mean, when you're homering that much, it's hard to pile up walks. I don't know. I don't blame him for swinging at pitches he can hit out of the park. I just blogged about early season stats, too. Just,
okay. Anything stand out yesterday? Big stuff?
UConn? Not a lot. Not a lot that we haven't covered already.
Yeah, it was kind of a blah day.
Half the games were rained out.
Pretty much. All right.
Here's the extent of it. I've got my little notes here. And Cole Calhoun drew his first two walks of the season.
Oh, really? I mean,
that made the cut for things that were notable to me. So, yeah, pretty blah.
Two walks.
That's what you put down, not his second homer of the season?
And homered.
That's not a good stat for a leadoff hitter, first two walks of the season.
I was kind of sorry, did you want to go further into that?
No, if you want. It's your show.
It's my show.
It's everyone's
it's
show.
It's our show. It's the people's show. I was keeping an eye on Jared Cosart because his first start was good, and they really worked hard to change his mechanics this spring. Didn't walk anybody in the first start, but walked a bunch yesterday, and so I'm not going to be watching him as closely in his next start, probably. It's just kind of a shame because he clearly has good stuff. I mean, even last year where it was more walks than strikeouts and both rates were pretty bad, 6.9 hits per 9 innings, and he throws very hard. I'm sure he's not very hittable, but he just puts himself in at so much risk with those walks and doesn't go very deep into games. Just doesn't look like a great fantasy option.
And a couple things from the A's yesterday that look like things to notice but really aren't. Scott Kazmir, who has sort of reinvented himself as a good control pitcher, did not have good control yesterday, but apparently he was ailing. So I think you can maybe give him a free pass on that. And even so, was still a decent performance from Kazmir.
It really was the exception for him. His last 18 starts, he walked 4 yesterday. Last 18 starts last year, less than 4 in each of them. And last 12, less than 3 in each of them.
Yeah. And the other thing, just Derek Norris in the lineup, that definitely caught my eye because it was versus a right-handed starter. But Bob Melvin just said he wanted to keep him fresh because they faced so many righties lately that he hasn't had the chance to play his platoon role. So don't read too much. It would be great if we ever do see a legitimate sign that Derek Norris is going to get 50% or more of the playing time. That to me is a noteworthy thing, but don't look for that just yet.
He homered. He homered, and he had a 3-hit game against a righty before this season. Like, you look at his splits, lefty-righty last year, they couldn't be more dramatic. He was Babe Ruth against lefties and Dick Schofield or whoever you want to pick out. Rafael Belliard.
B.J. Upton.
Against, okay. That's a little more current. But.
Yeah. I like the Dick Schofield references.
That was good. All right, that's something to keep an eye on. I want to make a case for Jason Vargas here. 60% owned and just always been good at pitcher's parks, right? Isn't that the deal? So now he's throwing, once again, all his home games are in pitcher's parks, but I think he's just got a really good division. So I looked at the Royals' schedule, and he was really good. I'm only 2 strikeouts against Tampa Bay yesterday, but 8 innings, one run.
It was the quintessential Jason Vargas
start. And his upcoming schedule, if Vargas pitches every 5 games, and this will probably get screwed up, but it could be at Minnesota, home against Minnesota, at Cleveland, home against Toronto, at San Diego, at Seattle, home against Colorado, home against Baltimore, at the Angels. How do you consider Cleveland in terms of hitter's park, pitcher's park?
Actually, it's overall pretty good, but the splits, and I have to admit, for some reason the progressive field, I have a hard time keeping it straight. Which way? I'm always looking it up because I can't remember if it's good for righties or lefties. I think
it's good for lefties.
I think it's lefty hitters.
Righty,
yeah.
that wall in left field is very high.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure that's right. But correct, I should say.
I, th- Vargas could be pitching almost every game in a pitcher's park, so 60% owned.
So that would also, the Cleveland start would work, likely work in his favor too. So, wow, that's a great schedule.
Yeah,
pick him up and stash him.
Yeah, I think it is worth looking into him even in the shallower mixed leagues, because we were at this point with him 2 years ago. I mean, 2 years ago he was top 30 pitcher in that format. And last year we were at this point with him where we start him in the pitcher-friendly venues, but he kind of, with the injury he went through, he had some kind of surgery. What was it? Was it blood clot, or he had something bad going on with his arm?
Yeah, I don't think it was blood clot with him. I can't remember, though.
Yeah. What's that one?
Thoracic outlet? Yeah.
Maybe it was that. It was one of those like unconventional syndrome conditions type surgeries rather than an injury surgery. And he came back from that and wasn't really as reliable as he used to be. So I kind of lost faith in him and didn't really know what to expect anymore. But based on the way he started the season, I think we're back to that point with him.
Oh, it was a blood clot.
Oh,
yeah.
Score one for Scott.
I finally get something right.
Let's talk about some hot hitters. We'll read some emails in a little bit. Josh Hamilton is hot, so I want to know what you're buying here, what you're selling. Josh Hamilton is killing it. He walked three times Monday. He's 12 for 24, two home runs, six RBIs. Buy or sell?
I'm still selling, but it's getting harder to. It's a very small sample. The things that worried me in the past, him chasing pitches outside the zone, him swinging and missing in general, have been way down this year, as you'd expect for the numbers. It's kind of one of those which came first, chicken or the egg scenarios, but I don't know that I would have counted on him to have a streak like this, period, if he was doing what he did, if he was the same player he was last year. So I'm encouraged. I did move him up a couple spots in my rankings in the outfield, but I'm not ready to say he's the Josh Hamilton we saw in Texas yet.
Yeah, I'm definitely not selling. If you'd offer me hold as a
Sell, hold.
I'm holding.
Right. I don't interpret this as literally we're selling him. We're trying to trade him away, right?
No, are we buying that he's, not back to being an MVP caliber player, but you know what I mean. I think we're on the same page with
Hamilton.
All right, so let's say, would you rather have Hamilton or Trumbo?
I'd rather have Trumbo.
Yeah, I would too.
Roto League, he was definitely drafted behind this guy, but right now, would you rather have Josh Hamilton or Billy Hamilton?
That's one I moved him up over.
Oh,
Josh Hamilton over Billy Hamilton, yes.
And I think since I was one who had Billy Hamilton over Josh Hamilton, I haven't seen enough from either yet to flip that.
Okay. Mark Trumbo, five home runs this year. Three walks all came in the last two games, six strikeouts, 13 RBI, 314. Do we still think he's the same player, or are we buying that he's going to be better this year being in Arizona?
No, I think he's going to be better. I am not at all buying the high batting average, and we've seen this before from Trumbo where he started out hot and regressed.
Career 290 hitter in April and May, 231 the rest of the season.
Right. He seems like a good sell high guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. It's going in Roto Leagues, it would be hard to replace his power, so I'm not sure. That's kind of the thing about Roto Leagues in general. I find I trade in them less often because you have to keep that balance between the stats that you kind of aim to get on draft day, and it's hard to break that up. But in head-to-head leagues, I would definitely call him a sell-high guy.
Michael Kadire, 424 batting average, two home runs, seven RBIs, three doubles. Buy or sell or hold Michael Kadire?
I am selling.
Although he's he's my number one sell-high guy right now because he was – a lot of times a guy gets off to a hot start, you play with savvy players, you offer them in a trade, they know exactly what you're doing. But in Kadire's case, he was awesome last year. It was his career year. I still say that didn't make any sense. The BABIP was way too high. It was completely out of character for him. It's not like his plate discipline improved, his batted ball rate, other than the fact that he got a hit on more batted balls. It's not like the rates improved. So I think he's going to regress to being more the guy we saw in Minnesota, but you could sell him for more than that right now.
But if he keeps us up, Michael Kadire will make me a liar.
Do you guys still think he's, Sorry, Al.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That was one of your best.
That was crickets.
Well, I was ready to make a point. I just don't want to undersell Michael Kadire. Like, I still feel like since he's been in Colorado, he slugged .489 in 2012 and .530 in 2013.
Well, what would be underselling him?
I don't know.
Well, and also, I'm sorry, but I'm going to make my pitch here for isolated power because that slugging is so inflated by the batting average, which in turn is inflated by
BABIP. No, not in 2012. He hit .260.
No, I understand, but that was a sub 500 slugging, right?
Yeah, .489.
But not bad, but not great.
Nobody really wanted him in 2012.
Right. So 2013 is the more impressive slugging number.
Yeah. But
the ISO, I think was under 200, which is not that great.
No, you guys have him around 40th. That seems pretty reasonable. Carlos Gonzalez. There's no doubting the talent. .355 with 3 home runs and 2 steals already. But how do you approach a guy that is as good a bet to go on the DL as anybody in baseball?
I think I just stick with him and hope he avoids it this year.
All right. Would somebody offered you Bryce Harper for Carlos Gonzalez? What are you doing?
I'm keeping cargo because I have just as many DL worries with Harper.
That's true. I mean, if somebody... yeah, no, I'm sticking with Cargo. I mean, look at where I have him in the rankings at outfield, you know?
Kershaw or Cargo?
That's the injury risk is built into that. I would rather have Cargo.
I would too.
All right. How about no? Okay, we're done. We can move on. Giancarlo Stanton. Okay.
Give yourself some credit here with Stanton. What were you saying 2 weeks ago?
That he was going to perform like a first rounder, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I said that. I kind of see him as more like
Didn't you say he was going to hit a 480-foot home run that almost goes out of Mullins Park?
Oh, my gosh. He crushed that ball.
You didn't call that one.
I kind of felt like he was going to be like an early round two type player, which is where I see him going next year. But I believe in Giancarlo Stanton, and I believe in the turnaround. I don't know if he's a 290 hitter or a 260 hitter, but I think no matter what, he can still be early second round value. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, if I'll settle for 260 from him, and he'll achieve that value. And the big questions with Stanton, as with all the guys we were just talking about, like Cargo, is can he stay healthy? Can he stay off the DL? Because he's had trouble with that lately. And will Stanton get the protection he needs? And so far, he's gotten it.
Yeah. Has he moved up in your minds or your rankings?
In my mind, yes. I need to apply that to the internet.
He kind of... Like yesterday, or not yesterday, but when I first heard about Ryan Braunstrom's situation, I moved him behind Harper and Adam Jones. Where I thought about it, I went ahead and moved him behind Stanton, too. So I guess he sort of has moved up.
Which means you have Stanton 7th now and Braun 8th. And Al, you've got Stanton 13th, so where would you be moving him up? We've got Trout, McCutchen, Cargo, Ellsbury, Braun, Adam Jones, Alex Rios, Puig, Worth, Kemp, Bautista, Harper, Stanton.
I'd be moving Stanton. I think I'd move him up to 7th.
Ahead of Rios?
Ahead of Rios, yeah.
Cool. All right, Stanton, way to go. Charlie Blackmon is a hot hitter, and we've discussed him, but I don't know. I looked at the numbers, and I thought there was maybe a little more reason for optimism. He batted .309 last year in 246 at-bats. He had 17 doubles and 7 steals. So could he give you a good batting average? He's 27 years old. He's going to be 28 in July.
Yeah, I think batting average and steals, and then, you know, in relation to that run scored, he could be useful. And he could be maybe the upside is somewhere in the Brett Gardner territory. I don't think he's... I think he's a pretty safe bet to keep the job, honestly, because I don't think he'll be bad enough to lose it. But I think part of the skepticism with him is just because we wanted to see Corey Dickerson win the job, but that hasn't happened. And the way Blackmon started the year, doesn't feel like it's going to happen.
I am more genuinely skeptical of Blackmon. I think there's a range where he could continue to do more or less what he's doing, because that was what he showed as a minor leaguer. But in a good amount of major league time, I mean, you mentioned the high batting average last year, but he's not walking, not stealing that much. So he wouldn't be getting on base very much for a leadoff guy. So I actually do feel like there's still a pretty good opening in the window there for Dickerson.
He's got two steals. He's on pace for 52.
He'll keep that up.
Two steals in a week. Two steals, yes.
No, and like I said, you know, he could continue this and he could be very valuable, but what we've seen from the much larger you know, body of work, I think there's room for him to play himself out of the job.
Steals is such a tricky stat. I mean, it's like the only stat, aside from saves, which I think everybody knows is a tricky stat, it's decision-based. It's not – you're not going to accidentally steal a base. You know, you can accidentally hit a home run. Players say that's actually the way to go about it. But, like, for instance, Mike Trout, does he have a single stolen base yet? He's batting second now instead of first, and I kind of wonder about that. You players with power – the more they move to the middle of the lineup, the less they seem to steal bases. That's something. So I bring that up in relation to Blackman because, yeah, he hasn't stolen many bases yet in his big league career, but he hasn't been counted on as the Rockies' leadoff hitter before either. Doesn't mean he's incapable of doing it. But then just wanted to throw that in about Trout, too.
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind.
That's a fair point. I've basically made that argument about Abraham Almonte, so...
Yeah.
If it works for him, works for Blackman.
Hey, Chase Utley is off to a great start. Last year, Chase Utley had more fantasy points per plate appearance than Dustin Pedroia and Jason Kipnis. And even if you don't play in points leagues, I mean, that's a valuable stat. He was really good. 284, 18 home runs, 69 RBIs, and obviously didn't play a full season. Utley is 11 for 24 with 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, 3 walks, 2 Ks, and 3 doubles. What do you do with Chase Utley? Buy, sell, hold.
I thought that was actually going to be a bad week for him because as he gets older, which is true of a lot of players, his lefty-righty splits have become more dramatic. Aging players tend to struggle against same-handed pitchers, as I guess young players do too. So it's really just the prime of your career when you're handling them. And they faced a bunch of lefties last week, and he killed it. So I kind of feel like I should have stuck with my original impression of Utley, which is when he's healthy. You just leave him in your lineup and don't worry about him.
Yeah, but do you want to get something for him now while he has value?
You know, maybe like if you could trade Utley straight up for Jed Jerko, because Jerko's
exactly
off to a terrible start.
Yeah.
And maybe I'd be okay with that if you could do it.
I'd be very okay with that. Actually, when you put it in that light, yeah, I like the idea of trading Utley because it's not – You know, we had a little discussion, I think it was on the Fantasy Baseball Today show last week about whether or not you stick with a player just because you drafted them, even if you're being offered an equivalent player, or maybe even a player who's slightly better, just because I think I'm going to blog about this, actually. It's really been kind of stuck in my craw ever since we had that conversation.
Yeah.
But Utley is not a guy in that category. That's somebody I would have drafted sort of reluctantly. And so, yeah, I would like him a lot as a sell-high guy.
And Brandon Belt, anything else we have to say about Brandon Belt? We pretty much covered Brandon Belt.
I like him. I think this is a precursor to a breakout season. I get that the home situation, it's not a good one for him. Of the 4 home runs he hit, 2 or maybe 3 would have gone out at AT&T Park. One was kind of borderline. So that kind of says it all. What he's dealing with the park situation. But I think he's going to be improved enough on the road and still enough at home, too, that even though the splits may still be kind of far apart, overall 20-25 home runs, I'm expecting it, and I'm not selling him now.
Okay, then. Works for me. Shall we move on?
Let's move on.
Let's do it. Our email address, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Put podcast or baseball podcast in the subject line, and Aaron has email of the day number 1. He says, "Dear TC, Rick, and Higgins." Oh, God, I feel like we should know that. Who is
A-team?
That? That's what I'm thinking. I think it's the A-team.
It's A-team or a show like the A-team.
"I'm a newcomer to fantasy baseball, but an avid footballer. I am in a head-to-head 10-team league. If you could give me some thoughts on a successful campaign, some things that make or break seasons."
Wow. Well, I mean, the draft was the biggest thing, so we're past that now. But depending on how savvy the people are you're playing with, and if you're a newcomer, maybe it's a brand new league, I don't know. Certainly in a shallower league like this, you consolidate talent as much as you can. And what I mean by that is it's a loaded waiver wire. There are going to be talented players breaking through all the time. You take 2 lesser players, trade him for a greater player, even if it seems like an overpay, and you can continually restock your roster with that waiver wire talent and keep doing it over and over until you have this super team of super studs and nobody can even come close to you. That's how I became a fantasy baseball addict in the first place.
Very good.
Maneuvers like that.
Now, Al realized that we were wrong about, well, he was wrong about the A team. I'm not taking any fall for that. So do you have another guess?
Yeah, Magnum P.I.
You got it. Good job.
I know how I got stuck on 18.
Rick and Higgins. Okay, email of the day number two, Jim from Merced, California. The other day, I heard Al say that he preferred Waka over Cingrani because he feared Tony Cingrani was more likely to blow up. I think Waka might be preferable, but not for that reason. After all, Cingrani has made 19 starts in his major league career and never allowed more than 5 hits in any of them. I find that amazing. Is that some kind of record?
It is.
It is now 20 starts, by the way, because this email was written before last night's start. And it was one of Cingrani's worst starts, but he still didn't give up 5 hits.
That is amazing.
It's pretty incredible.
I knew he had the second best hit rate of anybody last year, but...
And that's fair, because going back to the initial comment that I made about him, the one thing that I feel like he will deliver no matter what is low whip. Mm. But with walks, I know it's going to sound contradictory, because like, why do you think he's low whip if he can walk guys? But I don't think he's going to give up a lot of hits on balls in play, being more of a fly ball pitcher. So he'll preserve the whip, but the walks will be a potential ERA problem if he gives up home runs, which is the other liability that Cingrani has.
Yeah. Email of the day number three is from Chris from Long Island. Hey, Ace, Bruce, Fletcher, and the recently departed Ipkiss.
Now those Jim Carrey characters?
Those are. You got it.
Yeah.
I have a logjam at first base / utility. I have Chris Davis, Abreu, Hosmer, and Belt. 12-team auction league 5x5 head-to-head categories. I can only start 3, Chris Davis, Abreu, Hosmer, and Belt. I'm thinking I should trade either Hosmer or Belt, but I'm worried about picking wrong and shipping off this year's Goldschmidt or Freeman. Any suggestions? What do you normally do with log jams? All righty, then. Keep up the beautiful work. That was terrible, Jim Carrey. I apologize.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, sorry about that,
you had to get the spirit in there, though.
All righty, then.
That was good.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, who do you trade, Hosmer or Belt, and what do you normally do with
Belt? I think you're going to know what my answer is.
You're going to trade Belt.
I'm going to trade Belt, yeah. I trust the other three more. And Belt, and I mean, I just think it's a sell high.
Yeah. If it is a legit sell high and you're getting better than... Look, you can go to our rankings and see exactly how these guys relate to each other in terms of trade value. If you're getting more than you feel like Belt deserves for where we have him ranked... then it is a legit sell high, and you go ahead and do it. I have Davis, Abreu, Hosmer ranked ahead of him still. So as much as I like Belt, he is the low man here and the one who you could potentially get more than he deserves back for.
In terms of dealing with log jams, I do think you should trade. I don't know if this is the time to trade. You may want to wait for an injury, but then again,
well,
one of your guys could get injured.
It's 4. If it was 3... Or 2, certainly 2. I probably agree with you, but 4, I mean, he's covered, even with injuries.
No, I mean, wait for an opponent's injury.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, Albert Pujols goes on the DL, now you offer a desperate owner, Brandon Belt, and you might be able to get more.
Well, and that would basically be my advice, is just, you know, monitor the roster grid in your league and see who might have a need, and if there isn't anybody who currently has a need, then you look at who has potential need. And
I also think maybe you wait for an 0-2 team because you're in a head-to-head categories league. So
the downside to waiting is Brandon Belt goes without homering the next 2 weeks, which is certainly possible, breakout season or not. Then you miss your chance. So I'd at least explore it right now. If you don't get what you like in return, don't feel like you have to do it, because, eventually somebody may get desperate and offer you more.
Okay, email of the day number 4 is from Zach in Chicago. 12-team, daily, head-to-head points league. Should I try and sell high on Stanton for like a Bryce Harper or another big name that may be off to a slow start where owners might be panicking? Or is Stanton the real deal for the whole year?
Real deal.
Real deal, yeah.
But I still think I like Harper better. You guys don't?
I do rank him ahead, but that gets back to what Al was saying about trading nearly equivalent guys, even if you have a slight preference for one, you would have drafted them slightly ahead. Like, it just feels like it so often comes back to bite you in the butt when you're like, it's just kind of one of those, like, do no harm situations. Like, my roster's in good shape as it is. This isn't going to dramatically improve it, so let's just not mess with it. I understand, like, it doesn't make sense from a pure logical standpoint, but
they both have the same DL risk.
Yeah.
Well, the same.
Well, they both have a DL risk. If you like Harper better, I could see you making the trade. Because the other counter to your point, Scott, is you don't want to get too comfortable with your roster after 1 week and Giancarlo Stanton getting off to a great start.
You don't, but Giancarlo Stanton is somebody you should have believed in. When did you draft him? The third round?
Yeah. I thought you had concerns about Giancarlo Stanton because he had such a bad attitude last year. I remember debating that with you.
I think the attitude thing is out the window now.
The Marlins broadcasters have been pretty vocal about this. And it's actually interesting because I was sort of skeptical of those reports last year. It's kind of overblown. It's just a story and they need to blame the Marlins' horrible season on something. But, other than the talent that they put on the field. They're still talking about it and saying that there's been a real culture shift in the locker room there.
Yeah.
So I think it was really, really bad last year.
Right. Well, that was, like I said, I read that article that Heyman wrote, and it was basically saying that. That's why I was kind of buying into it. How pouty can you be two seasons in a row? Who wants to live like that? You know, something's got to give.
And definitely a 5-2 start might, help improve your mood too. So.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying about the not?
I do.
Greg Holland, Kenley Jansen. Like, if you had one and somebody offered you the other,
I just think
can
that
you bring yourself to do it, no matter which side you were on.
I feel like I feel like you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, would have drafted Harper first.
Yeah,
and if no games had been played and you'd been offered that trade, you would have made it. You would have given up Stanton for Harper.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true, but. There would have been some hesitation. There really would have.
Yeah, and I mean, right now, and again, I need to adjust the outfield rankings, but I've got Harper, and this I'm looking at points now, Harper 11, Stanton 13th. I will leapfrog Stanton over Harper in my next update. But, they're really close.
Okay.
They're really close.
Okay, then.
So I'm just trying to say, I'm not at all clear that I would have taken Harper over Stanton.
Scott, I think, had more of a separation than you did. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make it sound like you were down on Stanton or anything like that. Just reflecting what I perceived the rankings to be. Four up, two down. Let's do this quickly here. Trevor Plouffe, four up number one. He's owned in 48% of leagues, and he's off to a really good start. 10 for 27, 7 RBIs, 7 runs, 3 doubles. I have no idea what to say about
Boys. He's kind of Casey McGee in terms of upside and relevance. And basically, I'm just leaving him for the AL only leagues, good start or not.
Look at these third basemen, McGee, Solarte, Plouffe. They're off to these killer starts. Yeah. Come on, Moustakas, get in on it. Ryan Ludwig is 16% owned. I think it's a little too low.
Oh, I agree. It's very surprising to me, actually, that it's that low.
He's 8 for his last 18. 2 years ago, he slugged .531, and he got hurt early last season, which really ticked me off.
Well, it really messed him up, you would think. I mean, he slugged .512 two seasons ago.
.531.
Yeah. And that was after a dreadful start then when he kind of had to rediscover his swing after getting stuck in Pittsburgh and San Diego, two extreme pitcher's parks, getting in some bad habits there. After being a 30-homer guy previously with St. Louis. So he seemed to get back to that 2 years ago, and then the shoulder messed him up last year. I think it's conceivable, and there's not many guys on waivers you could say this about. I wouldn't be shocked if he hit 30 home runs. I'm not predicting it necessarily, but I think he's more capable than a lot of what you'll find out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. By the way, Scott, you, Herc, and I all have Trevor Plouffe ranked 27th in Roto, for whatever that's worth. He is who he is, I guess.
Yeah, that's rare. Exact same spot.
Cole Calhoun, we talked about. Hey, Jackie Bradley Jr., 20% owned, batting .375, played some really good defense last night. Worth stashing? Maybe just thinking about a Sizemore injury when everybody's going to go grab Jackie Bradley Jr. at that point?
in a standard mixed league, I don't feel like Bradley is quite high-end enough to stash. I mean, obviously, if it's a situation where you have a spot that's, you know, just burning a hole in your roster and you have nothing to do with it, Bradley's a reasonable risk there, but I wouldn't be surprised if I were doing that to drop him for somebody else in a week or two.
And two down. Matt Dominguez is off to a slow start. And then let's talk about Brian Dozier in a bit, because I didn't know if he should be in up or down. Dominguez, 51% owned. How would you compare Dominguez to Casey McGee, Trevor Plouffe, Solarte?
Favorably against all of them, just for the home run potential.
Well, I don't know that, like, what is the home run potential? The 21 he hit last year?
Yeah.
I think Plouffe and McGee are capable of that. I think I have him ahead of them, too. But I think for me, and this might be a difference between you and me, I have Dominguez closer to McGee and Plouffe than to Frazier and certainly like Arenado and Moustakas.
You know, I mean, in terms of if you looked at my rankings, it looks like I have Dominguez closer to that Frazier group.
Yeah.
But there's a big drop off there.
Okay.
So actually, I agree with you on that.
Okay.
And Brian Dozier is batting 143. But he's the number 5 second baseman in points leagues and number 7
I love
in Roto.
I love players like that.
I know. I wanted you to talk about that.
Everybody gives me such a hard time about liking Martin Prado. Like, there's just a certain class of players. Shane Victorino's always fallen into this category. Who, even when they're not hitting their best, they still manage to put up points because they can contribute in so many different ways, whether it's not striking out, whether it's stealing bases, whether it's walking, and Dozier did a little bit of each of that in the first week. There's another group of players who, while they're certainly better overall, their bad weeks, they're just going to give you absolutely nothing and probably will be responsible for you losing this week. And that includes guys like Mark Trumbo. It includes guys...
Go ahead. Throw Alfonso Soriano in there.
Alfonso Soriano, oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. I was tempted to go a little higher end, but I won't do that.
Because he's Ryan Braun right now.
I was going to say Chris Davis, but I think he's become enough of a walk guy that's not necessarily true. But, yeah, Soriano, Curtis Granderson, Josh Hamilton I would still put in there. So it doesn't mean these guys are – I guess the only really thing you can take away from that is to just – pay closer attention to those guys when you draft next year. Like, even because you can get them at a discount usually because they don't put up the eye-popping numbers and they won't cause as much trouble for you. You just kind of stick them in there and leave them there and they put up points and, yeah. And that's it.
I think we pretty much covered everything from yesterday, so let's do the injuries, news, and notes. Chicago, the White Sox signed Tommy Hansen to a minor league deal. Boston signed Ryan Roberts to play third base against lefties. Jonathan Herrera played against the righty last night. Minnesota acquired Eduardo Nunez. Oh, you're so lucky, Minnesota fans. You don't even know it yet.
I love that guy.
Catcher A.J. Ellis.
Is this the end of the Pedro Florimon era?
It should be, except Nunez can't play any defense. So.
And Florimon plays great defense. So yeah. Have to assess their priorities there in Minnesota.
It's not like he has no range, Nunez. He just makes a ton of throwing errors. Dodgers catcher A.J. Ellis having arthroscopic knee surgery. Tim Fedorovich could be called up. Are there any number two catchers that could be out there that people should be looking at?
I should take a look at Deonor Navarro's yeah. Ownership rate because he's also DHing a good bit.
Al, he is so overweight. I had a logjam at catcher. It was like I didn't know who to drop. I had Zunino, and I just had a lot of catchers. Zunino and Navarro. I have never, ever seen a catcher look like Deonor Navarro, and I mean that.
Did you see him last year?
You're being a weightist?
I don't remember last year.
Plus, he was with the Cubs, so those vertical stripes kind of a slimming effect. You may not have even noticed.
But it's just I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable. He looks like Bartolo Colon.
Well, he does.
Playing
catcher.
You
just took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, look, I mean, number two catcher, I'm not arguing with you. I just
baseball's
want to bring that
up. A game for people of all shapes and sizes.
But catcher? That physically demanding of a position to be that overweight?
Come on. In the movies, the catcher's always fat.
I mean, like Molina fat.
Whatever that's worth.
Like Jose Molina fat, but not Deanna Navarro. Yeah. Are they always fat?
Well, I'm thinking of like Angels in the Outfield and
Rube Baker or whatever his name
was. Major League 2,
right? He wasn't fat. He was a little pudgy.
He was pretty big.
Kind of a farmer.
Yeah. I mean, even Jake Taylor was out of shape.
He was out of shape.
Yeah.
He was. Okay, Navarro, sure.
Based on what I've seen, like actually seen, like looking at the person, my assessment of Navarro hasn't changed. He's not off to a good start, and it may ultimately prove that he's out of shape, yes, but I'm not willing to confirm that just yet because I didn't see what he looked
he's
like.
He's had a history of being out of shape.
Yeah,
that's true.
So Cleveland and San Diego playing a doubleheader Wednesday. Michael Bourne seems close to returning, perhaps this weekend. Zach Cozart broke an 0-for-22 slump with a single. Coco Crisp was out with a sore left wrist.
Here we go.
So it begins. Jed Lowry left after being hit by a pitch. And so it begins. Josh Willingham and Oswaldo Arcia were both out yesterday. Hosmil Pinto DH'd. J.J. Hardy was out with back spasms.
I've lost my place in the notes.
Last page.
Notes. Okay.
A few emails here. Let's see. Langston Hibbs from Aiken, South Carolina says, I really enjoyed Herc yesterday. Is he going to be a regular? Yes, every Monday. Points head-to-head league, which outfielder will give me a Will Myers-like addition once he comes up? Oscar Tavares, George Springer, or Henry Urrutia?
Of that group, I think only Springer will, but I think he could do a Myers plus.
Wow. Yeah, he'd be the choice. He's the most comparable player to Myers this year anyway, because yeah. Myers was drafted in all leagues last year and stashed forever. Hopefully it's not as long for Springer.
Daniel Garcia from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina says, no, 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 I just got you Darvish back, and now Matt Moore may be out for a start or two. No more? Who to add if he is headed to the DL? Head-to-head points league, no points for innings, but 5 points for a complete game. Mejia, Roark, Richards, Gibson, Hutchison. Al is going Mejia.
I am.
I'm going Roark, even though I don't think he'll give you the strikeouts that Mejia will, and maybe that's partially what you need to... Oh, it's a points league, so never mind. Yeah, I'm going Roark anyway.
From Matt, 6x6 OPS league. We keep 5 year to year. I just traded Ryan Braun for Justin Upton. What do you think? Give me a grade.
B minus.
So, you,
so
like
you, you rank Braun ahead of Upton now?
No. He ranks Upton ahead of Braun because it's a B minus.
Yeah. Right. Gosh, why do I...
Like, don't worry, Scott, tomorrow's great to trade.
Even when I get the sides right. Like, I got the sides of that trade right. I just...
don't worry about it. That vertical stripes joke was awesome.
That was.
All right.
Made the podcast.
C minus.
Okay, so
I
you still
have Braun ahead of Upton.
Zach from Anaheim says... Very good, Zach. You knew exactly what I was going to say. You and I know what you're talking, what I'm talking about. He says, what's up, guys? I was the unfortunate pitcher plague after... Oh, I was hit with the unfortunate pitcher plague after draft day. Corbin, Latos, Parker, Griffin, Naftali Feliz. I picked up Nate Jones. He also has David Robertson. So he wants to know who's worth holding, who's worth dropping when Latos and Griffin come back. P.S. I miss Nando. Cyber hug for Adam. And P.P.S. bring Herc on the podcast. And we did. So that's good. All right, so Categories League, 5x5. He's got Cliff Lee, Homer Bailey, Alex Wood, Sonny Gray, Dylan G, Jake Odorizzi, James Paxton, David Robertson, and Tommy Hunter. When Latos gets back and Griffin gets back, you know, you've got G, Odorizzi, Paxton. Who would you drop?
Definitely Odorizzi. And that when by the time Griffin gets back, Odorizzi might not have a job anyway, depending on when Hellickson gets back. So he'd be the first one in any regard. And then I'll let Scott pick a guy while I stall and figure out who to drop from these guys I don't really want to drop.
Yeah, I mean, Griffin's not imminent. Griffin's could end up even being more severe still, so it may not even be an issue. And by the time it is an issue, circumstances are going to have changed so much. Like, I don't know that our answer really counts for much.
Yeah.
I would say Dylan G would be my second choice to drop because I'm still all about Paxton, and I think he has a lot more upside. But if Paxton falls off between now and then, or he could lose his job too, for all we know.
Tonight is Paxton night.
Yeah, that would change things.
Yeah, and I agree. I could definitely see it playing out in such a way that Paxton would be the guy I drop. And if Paxton does prove to be legit, I'm probably dropping Griffin, actually.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to have to watch that game. That. Paxton Santiago. You know I like me some Hector Santiago.
You do. Do you like Santiago more than Tanner Shepherds?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you?
I do now, yeah. Yeah. I didn't before.
I think one case to be made for taking Tanner Shepherds out of the bullpen, back into the bullpen and out of the rotation is that I just think their bullpen kind of sucks right now.
Yeah.
So they could use him in the bullpen. And that's Adam's 2 cents. And we're done. Thank you, guys. Watch Fantasy Baseball today.
2 cents.
We'll talk to you tomorrow with Grade the Trade.